This is Cindy Gomez-Shemp with 88.1 FM, KPPPLP, Fargo-Moorhead, coming to you with another important update from the Sacred Stone Camp at Standing Rock Sioux Reservation. A press release from the Indigenous Environmental Network responding to the U.S. Court of Appeals injunction denial to halt the Dakota Access Pipeline construction within 20 miles of the Missouri River reads as follows. The U.S. Court of Appeals Sunday night rejected the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe's request for a temporary injunction to halt construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline through traditional unceded Ochetisakoan treaty lands near the Missouri River. The three-judge panel issued its decision on Sunday after hearing oral arguments from lawyers representing the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe and pipeline developer Energy Transfer Partners earlier this week. The decision was based on a specific request by the tribe for the court to continue a work stoppage order on the pipeline within 20 miles on either side of the Missouri River. The tribe still has an ongoing lawsuit filed in July against the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers over its permitting of the pipeline to cross the Missouri River just north of the reservation. Tom Goldtooth, executive director of the Indigenous Environmental Network, gives the following statement in response. Quote, "We are troubled by the court's decision, but as water protectors and land defenders, our resolve to stop this Bakken frack oil pipeline will not be diminished. We will continue to support the tribe's efforts to hold the U.S. federal government accountable for rubber stamping this dirty oil project. Meanwhile, our hearts and minds go to the pipeline fighters who will continue to use prayer and peaceful civil disobedience to disrupt business as usual and stop this black snake from being completed. This fight is far from over." Close quote. It's Indigenous Peoples Day, and the water defender and land protectors were praying at the St. Anthony's DAPL worksite, while some water defenders chained themselves to equipment in nonviolent civil disobedient actions to halt the Dakota Access Pipeline. Among them, Divergent actress Shailene Woodley was Facebook Living the event to approximately 46,000 people, asking them to share the live feed with everyone. Suddenly, police targeted her for arrest. Many believe the reason Woodley was targeted was to keep her thousands of followers from viewing and sharing the media content. Woodley has been using her star power to bring attention to the plight of the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe's fight for clean water and their efforts to halt the Dakota Access Pipeline. Here's audio from Shailene's live feed, including her arrest.
And right on the eve of National Indigenous Day. Convenient, huh? Disgusting. Anyway, riot police are arriving. Riot police arriving at this peaceful protest where people are praying, tying up tobacco ties, prayer ties. This is America. America. And look what we're faced with when we're trying to protect clean water. Yes, they have batons. Batons. They have batons.
There's
so many riot police coming in.
Get behind the banner! Get back! Get back behind the banner!
Get back behind the banner!
Everyone's standing their ground over here. We have peaceful protesters voluntarily getting arrested to protect the sacred teepee with prayer ties. We have police in riot gear with batons and sprays. People handing out goggles. Just so that everyone knows, when mainstream media decides to comment on this day, it is peaceful. We can attest to that. I'm proving it with this Facebook Live. There's no violence. Only peace.
Water's sacred!
Why are you protecting a big corporation of billionaires? Taxpayers pay your salary, not them! Do you even know about this land? Honor our treaties! Honor our children! Respect our water! Respect our land!
Honor our
Shailene, could you just say a few words about what's going on out here?
Yeah, so last night, of course, conveniently, the government, during the presidential debates, when mainstream media and all of those watching were paying attention to Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, as well as on the eve of Indigenous Peoples Day, which some still call Columbus Day, which just shows you the current paradigm of our westernized society, they decided to announce the U.S. State of Appeal, or the U.S. District of Court of Appeals, decided to announce that they denied the injunction on halting construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline. What does this mean? This means that once again, our government... We gotta go. This means that once again, our government is not paying attention to people. They're paying attention to corporations. And as many times as they may temporarily say that they care and temporarily say that they're gonna do something, they don't follow through. So it's time not only for civil disobedience, but for a lot of prayer and for a lot of ceremony to stand together to protect not only this generation but future generations. And especially today on Indigenous Peoples Day, we got to recognize that regardless of our background, regardless of our ancestry, we're all Indigenous to this earth, even if, whether we're humans, whether we're animals, whether we're fish in the sea. And it's our responsibility to honor our mother, that which has given us the oxygen, the sunlight, the moonlight, the fuel that feeds us every single day. We have to honor that, and we have to make sure that we not only treasure it, but protect
everybody
it.
Everybody lower it up. Nobody left.
You're welcome. Thanks for being here. Yep. Still going. Look at all these police officers in the grass. It's like they're little deer. Except they're dressed up. Hi.
Hi.
What? Right, I want to keep this going because, yeah.
There's an armored personnel carrier just behind the RV.
Guys, there's an armored personnel carrier. What does that mean? I know about dog carriers. What's an armored personnel carrier? Guys, not to make a bad cinema joke, but there's some divergent about to happen. I was just told that the cops are following me.
That's what we do.
Send some prayers. Going to my car.
Oh, you're staying here.
Keep going, guys. I know, but we're talking to them for a minute.
Record this.
Okay. Stop. Is there anything we did that was wrong?
I came back to my RV, which is right there, so that we can go back to camp peacefully. And they grabbed me by my jacket, and they said that I wasn't allowed to continue, and they have giant guns and batons and zip ties, and they're not letting me go.
We're talking about right now. Yep, not right now. I need to take a few steps.
We can't talk right here, I guess, if you want, but right now you can be placed under arrest for criminal trespass, all right?
Okay. I have one question. I was down there.
I'm not going to answer questions right now, but right now.
Wait, but. Okay, great. But why am I being arrested and no one else is who was down there? Is my question. Because
right now,
I've
been told that.
Is it because
word that
know
you trespassed on the property, so you're being placed under arrest.
Yeah, but so did hundreds of people. We were all down there. When you asked us to leave, we did.
You're identified.
You're identified.
All right, I'm being arrested. Because I was trespassing like everyone else. But as soon as you guys asked me to leave, I left.
You left.
She was down there. Everybody was down there.
We all left.
I'm being arrested. I was down there with everybody else. I don't know what's going on. As soon as they came, I left. It's because I'm well known. It's because I have 40,000 people watching. So everybody knows we were going to our vehicle, which they had all surrounded and waiting for me, the giant guns and the giant truck behind them, just so they could arrest me, so they knew this would happen. I hope you're watching mainstream media. I hope you're watching.
Ask where she's being taken.
Yes, stay back.
And now we have a report from Myron Dewey of the digital smoke signals on the ground at the Morton County Jail.
Hello, Namaga. We're over here at the Morton County Police Department, and there was 27 total that were arrested. So they've got everybody outside. They're not letting anybody go inside right now. And I'm going to give you just a quick update on what's going on and let everyone know before there starts to get rumors or anything like that. You're going to get it straight from the source over here.
Here's the sister over there. It's just, can you give us a quick update on what happened?
Yeah, so today was really beautiful. We had a bunch of protectors come out up on 6, and we just held a really peaceful ceremony. We had a bunch of prayers happening, songs. Our relatives from, I think, was it Alaska?
Yes.
Oh, came out and did a dance. It was gorgeous. The sun was shining. It was such a nice day. And then the police with riot gear showed up. They had 2 armored cars. A bunch of them seemed to be carrying rifles. I'm not sure if they're beanbag rifles or not. But they formed a line between the protesters and a teepee that was made by the pipes that were laid on the front lines. And they told us to, you know, step back. So they kept pushing us back. And they said, if we come in contact with you, you'll be arrested. And then 27 people were arrested. Some of them were willing to be arrested. Others were actually almost pulled and taken by the cops, which is unfortunate. But
so I heard they were picking people out of the crowd from what we were watching live.
You know what? That could be possible. I was kind of just everywhere taking pictures and stuff, so I don't know for sure. But yeah, I've heard that too, so it could be possible. But again, I don't know for sure.
Are there still people out there?
No. Everybody left after we had our prayers, and we made sure that our relatives that were arrested were taken peacefully and safely. We left, and our police liaisons made sure that we all got out safely, and we were allowed to go back north on 6.
So what do people need to know about south. The Dakota Access Pipeline? Why are people gathering there in that particular area?
So yesterday, the 20-mile limits that Dakota Access was not allowed to pass from the Oahe River or lake was lifted. So now Dakota Access is able to do construction within that boundary that was set initially. And so protectors ended up coming this morning and laying prayers down so that Dakota Access could not do construction and that protection could be furthered.
So they were there trying to work?
I did not see any construction workers, but again, we did arrive quite early in the morning, and I'm not sure when they start work. So,
and just for those of you guys who are just tuning in, you can go back on the videos where Digital Smoke Signals had filmed actually the work conducting with those pipes.
Beautiful.
There was no pipes, and after Obama had made that decision, and in between till now, there was construction, and that's how those pipes got together.
Wow,
that's so they're insane. Welding. So we zoomed into the welding, and everything shows that, yes, they have been working, but no consequence has been done. Is there anything else you would like to share?
Stay peaceful. Stay always in protection. Stay vigil. This isn't over, and it'll never be over until the very last protector of land.
And many people, maybe we'll explain this. I'm hearing the definition, protectors and protesters. What are we?
We are protectors. We are not protesters. We are protecting what is sacred, water, land. We are protecting rights.
Ah, pichat you. Thank you.
Mahalo.
You guys were out there too? Okay, so could you give me just a little bit of overview of what you witnessed?
Sure. We were gathered there today in prayer with our Native brothers and sisters. There were people from all over the world. I live in Australia. There were people from Alaska. There were people from Japan. There were people from Europe, all over this country, all skins, all ages. There were babies there. There were elders there. There was chanting. There was singing. There was offering of goodwill to the police that were there, that were doing the bidding of their oil hirers, or I don't know how the police are actually there protecting the pipeline when the pipeline is threatening 18 million people's worth of water. 18 million people depend on the water that's downstream from where the pipeline crosses the Missouri River there. That river system feeds into the entire delta of the entire watershed for the Mississippi River, which has 7,000 major tributaries to it. All pipelines leak. All it's going to take is for a major pipeline leak to affect the entire river system all the way down to the Mississippi. And it's time for us to stand up and take a stand like Shailene took today to actually say, no, we actually have to stop our dependence on oil. Kurt Vonnegut said, wrote a little note to future generations saying, dear future generations, sorry, we were rolling drunk on petroleum. And that's where we are today. We all are complicit in it. And we all have to start making a stand to make it stop somewhere. And where that line is being drawn right now is at Standing Rock. And Shailene was there on the front line today. She was peacefully witnessing what was going on, like the Quakers do, just witnessing what was going on. And she's been arrested along with 27 other people. That's not democracy. That is not what we have fought and died for all these years. That's not what we're about in America. Well, so,
what do you know about the Dakota Access Pipeline? What should people know?
People should know that it actually is going to be crossing the Missouri River twice. It's going to cross 200 other freshwater sources in its 1,200-mile journey from North Dakota across four states down to Illinois, where it will be processed. It has been actually parceled out in small individual units so that the whole length of it could be handled as instead of one being one massive project, it's a whole bunch of little projects which are easier to get rubber stamped through most of the legislations that are responsible for protecting us, not protecting the corporations and not protecting the corporations' profits. Water before oil. I mean, you can't drink oil. That's what we're chanting out on the pipeline. We're chanting protect the sacred. We're chanting water is sacred. We're drumming. We're praying. We're offering goodwill to the police that are there because they're there in ignorance. They won't be able to have their kids drink out of taps the same way Native Americans won't be able to drink out of taps. If the pipeline breaks where it's going to cross the Missouri right now, the people of Standing Rock Reservation will have 1 hour's notice to shut down the intake of their water supply. When have you heard of an oil company rapidly getting information out to anyone about a leak?
Yes.
There are leaks that are happening right now all over this country, across the world as well. I mean, talk about South America or other places in Europe or in Russia, but the people of Standing Rock would have 1 hour's notice, and I can guarantee you if that pipeline breaks, they're not going to find out for days before their entire water system is poisoned, just like Flint, Michigan has been poisoned by government doing it on the cheap and taking dirty money for oil or for selling people out before corporate profits.
So what can people do right now? What can they do today?
What they can do today is call your congressman, call your senators. You can hashtag about this, no DAPL, no Dakota Access Pipeline. Share this out on social media because I can guarantee you that the two clowns that just debated last night are going to get most of the media today. And what has happened is this is just not good enough because yesterday, while they were being in their clown zone of debating, we were cut short of having a stay of actually putting the pipeline through. So find out your congressman, find out your senator, call them, share about it. You can go to Standing Rock, any number of the Standing Rock pages on Facebook, and you'll find different petitions that you can sign, and you'll find places where you can donate to Standing Rock because people are settling in for the winter to see this thing through, to stop these black snakes cutting across their water.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much.
So what we got going, relatives, is that they're inside, and they're not letting anybody inside. We're waiting right now. We're going to wait here, see how everyone's doing. 27 have been arrested, and your guys can... I posted some of the live feeds that you can see on there and that you can share and educate those around you. Exactly, those are the questions we want to know. Why is the indigenous people and people from around the world are coming to stop the Dakota Access Pipeline? And what is that decision Obama has made? Was it valid or did it just postpone? So here's another issue that we're going through. So thank you all my relatives for showing up. Would you like to say something? Was you out there?
I was.
Okay, would you like to share your thoughts? And...
Yeah, I just noticed that the police were there pretty much to incite us and to separate us a little bit and be there just to make sure that we didn't do anything, even though we were peaceful. I moved around a lot, so I just wanted to be able to be available there and see if anything happened.
Yeah.
I tried to keep it peaceful. I saw that it mainly was, for the most part, so it was a good thing.
So did how did it look? How did the officers look? Were they? Did they look like they came in force? Did they look like they, you know, did they take their time?
At the beginning, they came in force, and they didn't take their time at all coming in and trying to separate the people that were actually making a stand, showing that they were going to get arrested at the TP. And then they obviously separated us, and they wanted to separate the people who were aggressive again, and they did a little bit. And they picked out certain people to arrest at the beginning that I saw. And then as they pushed us back, we just stayed in the background, and they just formed their usual lines and aggressive towards the beginning side, or the side that has the road on it to protect, just in case anybody had to come in. But it was aggressive, I would say, in their tactics, but they were peaceful once everything they got in their control. So as long as we stayed our side and they stayed their side, it was peaceful. So
it was cool. Appreciate that, guy.
Thanks.
Thank you. So we're here. We're going to stay here for a while. And
there's, from what they're saying, I just spoke with the attorney that went in, and I'm also represented, so it's a good thing. I'm glad I'm represented. And was you over there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Could you give me a quick interview, buddy?
Yeah, I was.
Share with me a little bit about what your thoughts are, what you witnessed today.
Sure, Myron. So what I witnessed today was it was pretty entertaining, actually. So we went and we set up a teepee, and we had ceremony, we had prayer, and then the cops show up and they start walking into the area and they start arresting people here and there, just grabbing people and arresting them, and then they make a line. It's mostly intimidation tactics. It's silly stuff. But you could tell in their eyes that they're starting to break. Like, these guys don't want to be there. They'd rather just put down their weapons and walk away, but they feel they have to do that job to feed their families.
Yeah.
There were a couple that just said, I can't shake your hand, because the youth council is going up trying to shake their hands, and they're like, I can't shake their hands, I can't do it.
They're being instructed.
Yeah, they're definitely being instructed, and they want to be human, they want to be peaceful, they want to be, you know, at least the ones that I saw anyway. I can't speak for all of them, but it was entertaining, because they didn't need to have the batons out. It was really a fascist statement. It looked really bad. They had cops, state cops, in from other counties, and we're thinking to ourselves, well, you know, what happens to the people that are dying on the highways out there? Because this is what the state police is supposed to be for. They're supposed to be protecting their own highways, and there's people getting access all the time, and they got half their force out here. I mean, how does that make sense for a bunch of peaceful protectors? It doesn't. To me, it doesn't make sense. The only thing that makes sense is that they were trying to make themselves look really good, and they ended up making themselves look really bad. But yeah, overall, it was a good time, actually. I had a great time. We had music, we had dancing, we had prayer. It was just a really peaceful place.
Beautiful, beautiful thing to take a part in, right?
Yeah, really. I got to put up a TV for the first time. I was like, what? And now that I know how it gets put up, I was like, wow, it was magic. It was amazing. Yeah. So yeah, it was a great part of history to be a part of, and for the cops to show up and just be stupid like that, they were actually trying to blame us for a so-called head-on accident that we drove both sides of the street. We didn't see any kind of debris or anything. I mean, there was nothing there. So why even go to that length to blame something on us when we're peaceful and we're just, you know, there to protect our water?
Yeah. Yeah, so they're going through any means to fabricate the truth.
They are.
But we are witnessing live.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. You know, we can say one thing, but we're witnessing it live.
Right. We're all out there. We're recorders. You can't get away with telling, you can't get away with lies anymore. It just doesn't work.
And they're hoping the world isn't watching. Or do they not get it?
The world is watching.
The world is watching, but
I think our stream, so we were streaming from Real Progressives today, and I think our stream got is up to 30,000 views. Shailene's has got to be up to a million by now.
Yeah.
I mean, the world is watching. They don't get it.
I was watching her live feed, and I posted it because I was here hoping that I didn't go to jail today.
Yeah.
And they stole my drone out of my vehicle. What they said is they had a warrant, but
I watched that, yeah.
They had no warrant,
and they didn't even fill out the paperwork right, and they still haven't given you back your drone. So, hey.
All right, guys. So we're going to go and make sure that we're here. Okay. Just share just a little bit why you're here to support your name and tribe.
My name is Nicole Badbrave. I am with the Three Affiliated Tribes. I live here in Mandan. I've kind of known everything that's kind of been going on, following what's going on. And what do I think about this? Well, it's, I guess you could say, it really frustrates me. Being from here and seeing how one-sided, you know, how it is and stuff, and it's just, I'm so close to here, and it's just powerful. Like, it's just, I need to be there. Mm-hmm. You know, this is, you know, this is for, this is our people. This is, we're all in this together. Yeah. You know, and it's just, I'm sorry, I'm getting.
It's okay.
Yeah, it is getting emotional.
Yeah, I'm getting emotional.
It's
okay. We're here witnessing all of the injustice, and it's not okay. And it's really emotional to many of our people out here that are standing here in solidarity. People come down to support. You know, people driving by honking. We're trying to make sure that we're here, letting our people know inside that we're here in solidarity, and that we're going to continue to protect the clean water for not just us, for people all the way down, indigenous people around the world, all people around the world. So I'll come back with you guys later. We got to go finish up some other things. I'm pretty sure they're going to be here in overnight. The process that they have to go through with the lawyers and the bond and all those things. That's what we're going to see. They may let the celebrity out first. Everyone's going to wonder why, but I don't think she's going to want to get out without everyone else. So we'll see how that goes, relatives. But that shows us solidarity. So another one we want to say is The Rock, I seen you with the shirt. You got to come not only rock that shirt, but come stand with Standing Rock. You guys hear that? And all you other,
Johnny Depp,
all you movie stars that are wearing and supporting this, you've got to come witness. You've got to come down, stay at the camp, witness, introduce yourself to the mic that you're here in new territory and that you come in solidarity. Everyone that comes is always doing that in solidarity.
See?
Yep, they're always doing that. We have a, we also have a doctor here. So
no, nurse.
Nurse, well, she's like our doctor. So yeah. Can you share a little bit about what you witnessed?
You mean today or out there at Standing Rock? Today?
Just out there at Standing Rock.
What I witness out at Standing Rock is a lot of good people coming together from all over the world, sharing their expertise, their knowledge, anything they can do to help, their love, their support. And we just put boots to the ground, and our big goal in the medic tent is to make sure everybody's healthy. And we look after their well-being. We go out there and do public health. We make sure people are okay before they even feel too sick.
Mm-hmm.
Come see us. We're happy to see you. It's all about, we are sort of one big group, and we look after each other, and everybody's happy and healthy. From babies to elders, it's all in between is good.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. We have so many people like her around here, and they just got this whole full of energy and expertise and feeling balance. It's great to be around all our relatives like that. So with that, relatives, we'll film this tomorrow, maybe later on tonight, give you another update as our relatives get out of here.
On Friday, October 7th, from 6 to 8 p.m., the Unitarian Universalist Church of Bismarck, Mandan, held a teach-in featuring speakers Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, Candy Mossett of the Indigenous Environmental Network, and Lila Spoonhunter of the International Indigenous Youth Council regarding the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe's fight against the Dakota Access Pipeline. Here are some of the interviews from that event.
Hello, this is Cindy Gomez-Shemp with KPPPLP 88.1 FM in Fargo-Moorhead, and I am here with Winona LaDuke at the Universalist Unitarian Church in Bismarck. She is a part of a three-woman panel that's doing a teach-in here, Standing with Standing Rock. Thank you for being here today. I wanted to get an interview with you about some of the things that you shared. We'll be sharing your speech here, but I wanted to ask you some more in-depth questions. One, about your ride tomorrow. Can you give us some details on that?
Yeah, I mean, for four years I've been riding on these proposed pipeline routes, and so I'm going to do that here, you know, and so we're going to be riding basically from the camp up to Tioga on some county roads and some township roads. I did talk to law enforcement, and I asked them if they would assist us to make sure that we were not faced with any aggressive militarization or, you know, aggressive police action. And so the Department of Justice is assisting us as well.
Wow. And
which,
I want to,
you know, it's kind of unusual. I'm not usually doing that, but I want to be safe.
Yeah. I mean, there was a couple of, well, I saw a lot of videos actually, but two very terrifying videos that I watched where, you know, there's been actions of people going out to pray and they're being met with full riot gear, militarized police with MRAPs, and there's planes and helicopters flying overhead. There's even been some helicopters that have been flying with false numbers that are being investigated now by the FAA. And it's unclear at this point whether they're related to the Morton County Sheriff's Department or if they're working for the pipeline. But I have never seen anything like this anywhere in the country, anywhere in the United States. What do you owe this increasing level of hostility or militarization of the police toward people at Standing Rock?
Well, I think that North Dakota suffers from what's known as regulatory capture, where you have, you know, a state legislature and a governor that's largely believes that oil is the only thing that is, and that, and you know, unfortunately, oil companies should and pipeline companies probably should not dictate public policy or sway it. You know, I feel that there's a significant overuse. I'd like to say that, you know, $7.8 million, I believe, is what the governor has brought in for militarizing emergency assistance for this region. Really excessive, you know, really excessive. And kind of I have to ask, Governor, how far are you going to go on this? Are you going to shoot people over this pipeline? Are you going to shoot people? You know, I don't think it's right. I think that, you know, the people here, we're not protesters, we're protectors. We're people who want to have clean water. And we don't want to have contaminated water. That's why we're here.
What do you make of the announcement that was just made a day or two ago by the Morton County Sheriff's Department following the denial of their request for federal assistance for the law enforcement of the multi-group sheriffs that came together to say that they're going to be lending their support?
You know, I think the Morton County Sheriff is super aggressive. And, you know, I think that... you know, there's been a lot of actions and there's been a lot of manipulation of the press to make it appear that we are dangerous people. You know, I'm not a dangerous person. I'm a grandmother. I went to Harvard. I went to MIT. I'm an economist. You know, I just don't think the pipeline's a good idea. You know, and I don't want to be marginalized because I believe that my water is worth more than their money. You know, and I think that the media in North Dakota really needs to step up to the plate. I mean, the media around this country can do a good thing. There's a lot of Pulitzer Prize-winning stories by reporters who would follow a story like exactly who did hire those planes. That's a felony. That's a felony to doctor your, you know, it was a fixed-wing number on a helicopter. That's a felony. So who is doing that? I believe Heidi Heitkamp should do some investigation. I believe the Attorney General should do that, and there should be some charges filed. You know, I'd like to see, you know, I'd like to ask some questions about exactly what you, can you do if you're a security company? Can you send your dogs to bite people? Can you waterboard people? Can you shoot them? I mean, what should we be expecting? It's a civil rights, you know, it's a huge civil rights crisis going on in North Dakota. I really believe it's kind of the you know, tip of the iceberg here, or kind of has risen to the top, you know, with this. And there's a lot of bad behavior. You know, in there's about 100 people been arrested up here. There's 130 people have been arrested in Iowa over the same pipeline. There are people who don't want this pipeline to go through their territory. But those people in Iowa are not treated like criminals and dangerous people. Those people in Iowa, when they go into the jail, are giving playing cards. I don't want to say that they get cookies, but, you know, I'm saying up here, our people are treated pretty rough. You know, and I don't know if that's because we're brown, but it's not just brown people getting arrested. You know, so I feel like time to reckon with ourselves, North Dakota. Trying to reckon with where we're going as a future. Oil's, you know, 85% drop in drilling rigs. You know, the roads are not as littered as they have been. In the meantime, your quality of life is diminished. Your water quality is going down. Your airborne contamination is going up. Your radioactive contamination is going up. And, you know, so the party should be over. Time to clean up. And you know, this pipeline is really a pipeline from nowhere. The amount of oil going out of the Bakken is already served, you know, with that which you have. And, you know, I don't think you should be building a pipeline now.
I agree with you that there's not been enough information, because where we're from in Fargo-Moorhead, a lot of the discussions about this pipeline are around jobs, around energy independence, independence from oil. And one of the things that you talked about in there, it was just kind of scratched over the surface in the beginning video, was about other countries like Venezuela who are trying to create independence and infrastructure for their country, selling their oil at a fair price that the United States doesn't want to buy. I don't think that that's something that people know about at all. Could you talk a little bit about that? And also the idea that people have in North Dakota that the oil is got to go out of there somehow. What do you want to do? You want to put it on a train? Do you want to put it in a pipe? Do you want to put it, you know, how we're going to have to get it out. But there is no idea of stopping it. There's just there. It has to come out. That is how a lot of people think.
Yeah, well, I'm going to start with that one because, you know, I've raised six kids, and sometimes you just leave something alone. Just because it's there doesn't mean it's yours, and just because it's there doesn't mean you should take it out. Because there's a reason that oil's in the ground, and it has its own purpose ecologically inside the earth. And that and the fact is that carbon should be in the soil and not in the air. This whole process is a chemical process which is transforming our whole environment, and we're getting the impact of it. So I'm just saying, time to say no. You guys got more wind than oil. You should be using your wind power and powering, you know, the Western Hemisphere with it. Let's be honest. You know, you have a great potential to do things here, and I don't want to hear you can't do it, because what I know is that 57% waste of energy between point of origin and point of consumption. So get rid of your waste, relocalize. You cannot say this is energy independence. It is not energy independence. You know, the people of Standing Rock don't have adequate infrastructure. And, you know, it was a few years ago, Debbie Dogskin died. You know, just, you know, couldn't pay her bills, couldn't pay her heating bills. And I feel like saying, you know, this isn't going to change Debbie Dogskin's situation. This isn't going to change the situation for all these people that are poor in North Dakota. It's going to export the oil, you know, may end up overseas, or I don't know where it's going to end up. But what I'm saying is it's not energy independence. You know, it's a sham. Energy independence is when you have solar and wind. Energy independence is when you have a local economy. Energy independence is when you aren't worried about winter coming because you're sad. And this is not going to change any of that. And as far as jobs, there's five times as many jobs in building infrastructure for cities, rural water systems, weatherization, than there are in oil pipelines. You throw the pipe down once, and then pretty much you let it rot. There'd be plenty of jobs in checking all those pipes that are about to break in North Dakota, and the ones that are breaking consistently in northern Minnesota. So that's where the jobs are, and the company should be paying for that. Clean up your oil mess. That's what I say, and there's a lot of jobs in that.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate the interview. Yeah. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for talking to me. I appreciate it. And so more information, if you want, to our website is called Honor the Earth, www.honorearth.org. And thanks again. Miigwech.
Thank you. Hello, this is Cindy with KPPPLP 88.1 FM in Fargo-Moorhead, and I am with Myron Dewey of Digital Smoke Signals. I've been watching a lot of the stuff that you've been putting out. You've been keeping the people informed. You told me you were just on a 12-hour project. What was that about?
Well, it was a whole bunch of Namina Agaitika and Myron Dewey, Walker Paiute Tribe, Timok Shoshone. Just been out. I just want to say hello to everybody out there and, you know, send good blessings and thoughts, and thank you for sending them in. I do read them when I'm out there. A lot of times, you know, when we're going from place to place, you know, I'm going through and checking everyone's emails and that send me, and it gives me a high spirit. You know, a lot of time I feel like connected because it's just us out there. And we run into all these security along the way. We run into all these cops along the way, and we're on public roads. Mm-hmm. And so yesterday was to GPS every location that there was an exit of the pipeline, and we went 100 miles out, and we didn't see anybody out there. This is really weird. We saw security at the first exit, and that was it. That's where they were working. And so if any of you guys seen what I put out yesterday, they had been working yesterday. And then we went back and the equipment was gone, but the pipes are put together. And so we were trying to catch them in the act working because they're within the 20-mile buffer zone. The best thing that we can do is, you know, we're angry about what's going on, but we're trying to be intellectually angry and think things through and think of things we haven't thought about in legal narratives, visual legal narratives. This ain't my work alone. I got a lot of colleagues out there, a lot of friends, a lot of Facebookers that are helping me that are sending out legal representation of visuals. And we started doing not just the drone footage, but GPSing over every single piece of equipment that is out there. Painstaking work and flying and getting chased. As soon as we were out there, it takes about 20 minutes for the police helicopter to get out there. However, however they see us or find us, they haven't found us, haven't been able to catch us so far. But it's crazy. And I've had to do things with this drone that I didn't think were possible. We've had to do, they're like missions, you know. You know, we're out there, we're flying in areas that have no, you know, it's just no visibility. So you're really flying off the maps. And I started to learn how to use this drone in an environmental justice way and protecting our traditional lands and our homelands. And also, you know, it's called Quidna Eagle. So it's getting many blessings. And you know what's really neat is we've seen many times an eagle fly over the top. You know, it's a synchronicity that tells you you're on the right path. And what's even scarier, too, though, is when, you know, you get pulled over by FBI and they're telling you to be careful. These guys are bad guys.
I wanted to ask you about that because you had an interview with a guy who was undercover and something shady happened. I wanted you to explain that and tell us a little bit more.
So he tried to walk into my car. He started taking pictures. He started being sarcastic. And I pulled out my camera and I started filming him. And then I said, hey, you can't touch my car. And I filmed him, you know, hey, you can't touch my, I didn't know who he was because we know these security are bad guys. We know them. But when you're around them, they don't have an aura or a spirit. It's like they're disconnected. But this guy was goofy, sarcastic. And I was like, he's not a Dapple security unless he's the jester of Dapple security. And so as he was being more sarcastic, I asked him, would you like to say anything to the 100,000 viewers that are watching you? And if you watch the video, you can see for 45 seconds, he starts realizing he stopped and he's thinking, holy. And then he just kind of, we just left him alone and faded off. Well, I ran into him again and I says, why didn't you tell me you were FBI? And he goes, well, Myron, you know, I got a family. But, you know, am I supposed to be sympathetic to him where he's not sympathetic to us? You know, we're trying to protect our homelands and we're trying to protect the sacred and the water. And for him to start to act not like a professional FBI agent, but like he can do whatever he wants back there, I let him know that's not okay. You know, and we actually had a conversation. So I turned the camera off and I just had a conversation with him and says, we're out here protected and you're witnessing. Why aren't you doing anything? Are you documenting? You're seeing police militarization. They have no badges on. They're covering up their names. Is that okay? You know, there was a military officer there. We're trying to document these people. And so, because these guys are bad guys too. And we're hearing from them, you know, that some of them support us. You know, we support you. This is just our job. And I get that, you know, but I'm also there to protect the water and to do everything I can in our power because we've witnessed this for 500 years, colonization. It's nothing new. It's just getting more aggressive. And it's become from a people we haven't seen, which are called investors. And so what would happen if the investors knew that Dakota Access Pipeline was doing this to their people?
It's a good question. And I wanted to ask you another question. I don't know, honestly, how you do what you do. You told me you just spent 12 hours without sleep. And I see you jumping in cars, jumping out of cars, switching to this phone, switching to that phone. you're doing two things. You're not just out there defending the water and the land and standing up for your people. You're creating media in a media blackout of one of the greatest stories of the history of Indigenous people that I've ever experienced. So thank you for that. Thank you for that work. Thank you for the service that you're giving to all of us. But I wanted you to talk about that whole media issue and why it's so important for Indigenous people to tell our own stories.
Well, who controls the culture? Who controls the media controls the culture? And we've witnessed that for 100 years. And so now my master's is digital language preservation. And I use that at the University of Kansas to help tell our story. But it was also a challenge there because they want me to cite ethnohistorians. And again, it's not just myself. A lot of friends and colleagues and academia around me were like, some of them were saying, come on, Myron, you're good. You can't take on the university. I'm like, you know what? It's as simple. I can't cite an ethnohistorian on Indigenous knowledge and history. It's plagiarism. So we found the language and articulated it, and it's pathologically biased. And I got my master's, moved on from there. And you just have to keep doing it. You know, whether you're Native, non-Native, Indigenous, I started telling everyone, you're Indigenous from somewhere. You just need to find out where. That's where the disconnect has come from. And in media, we can do that. So we have cultural protocol when you come up to the Native media tent. We explain to everybody what cultural protocol is. I've already been doing that with the youth, you know, and sharing with them, here's how we film when we don't film, why we don't film ceremony, why it's respectful to put your camera down, and then police your area around you and make sure everyone doesn't do the same thing. So I put the leadership role in the next guy's hands and hand it to him and tell him to do it in a good way and just keep passing that reciprocity of spiritual teachings. It's just teachings. Really, it just comes down to teachings, good teachings. Yeah.
One of the things I wanted to ask you about, it, because you're out there on the front lines and you're seeing this and you have a perspective, I'm sure, that is quite exceptional, different from anyone else. And that is the escalation in the militarization and the aggressiveness of the police. There's just been an announcement in the last couple of days from the Morton County Sheriff's Department after he was turned down by the federal government to get more resources for his policing actions that have been increasing. And now they've announced a joint working relationship with various sheriff's offices from Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota. I want you to comment on that. And I want you to comment on, I mean, every video that you put out is scarier than the last one. The time that I saw, you know, people pointing guns at children and women and elderly, I was literally freaking out on the other side of that camera. What do you see happening here? Why? And what can you tell us about what Morton County Sheriff's Department and what the state leaders are doing in that?
So let me rewind back to the media blackout. We're indigenizing media through social media and film. This is something we've already been doing. We're in a digital divide Indian country. This was nothing new. And when we got here, I was already prepared for that. And so we use everything we can, cell boosters. We finally got Wi-Fi. We're off-grid fully, 100%. We're role-modeling green energy. That's how we're getting media out. And the goal is to beat them to the punch, not just writing press releases, but we also put video behind it. So we edit on the way back. And as we're in the car and we get there and just...
You have to do a workshop.
You know, I've been doing digital storytelling with youth. I have 20 iPads that I'm doing in the camp. I turn them loose with them. So I have my worker bees out there and they bring media back. So, you know, always mentoring, always handing the pass. And if you see me, I grab people and just try to hand it to them, the leadership role, so I can do my work out there. We have a Native media tent, great volunteers. If I speed forward now, we answer your question about corporate militarization. We've witnessed that. We witnessed it from a lower level security to what I'm being told is like Blackwater security. These guys are bad guys. We encountered a guy way out there in the middle with mesh. And that was a little scary at first. But, you know, you've got to get what you're getting when you get out there. You've got to make sure that they're not drilling, they're not cutting, they're not doing anything with the pipeline, they're not welding. When we got out there, we caught him live on Facebook. He stood up, and then it took 35 seconds, and we got up the hill, and he was gone. The area we were looking, if you guys seen the Facebook hill, that's how it looked in grass. So he was only maybe a little ways in front of us. And we had some military relatives show up, and they said, we got four humps. He's one of the four. And so they protected me while I did what I did. And a lot of the times, people don't realize there's behind-the-scenes people that are protecting me. You know, they come in and they'll divert them, and I'm able to finish what I'm doing. And then sometimes it's just me and another brother, you know. And I let these young guys know that these guys were at war. These guys are professional killers. This is what they do. Cops are telling us. FBI are telling us. People online that are military vets know this. We had another guy with us that he didn't want to be named, but his dad used to train a lot of the military guys. And for 40 years, he did it. And he says, I'm going to send a couple guys with you, son, and you can Myron, you and Byron can do what you're doing. And he goes, he really believed in what his son was doing. And he goes, no, you know, this it'll escalate because, you know, there are estimated 60-plus of them out there. So this is the – I haven't seen that many, but I have seen 30 cars at once show up. So if that's two to a car, I guess that would be around 60.
Wow.
And if you're looking at the, what bothers me is not only corporate militarization, but the cooperation with the local enforcement while they're doing that. So as we started Facebooking Live, it almost seemed like they didn't care until they started getting media pressure. And then as I kept Facebooking Live, I would stay and watch the cooperation after everyone was gone. And they would use us as training. And they would bring all their riot gear in, all their people and officers, and they would use it as a training guide. And I was like, whoa, okay. So from about 2 weeks ago, I started stepping out and only monitoring the back, the outside. And I witnessed what was happening. We were pretty much getting set up all the time. So every exit we would go, they would be there. So they have planes, they have helicopters, and they're rotating. And we've also witnessed, I'm assuming it's a National Guard plane. It flies about 5 miles an hour. It's huge, way up in the air, and it'll circle back and forth. What we struggle with sometimes is limited by our own technology, consumer technology. And so I'm doing the best I can with what I have in my hand, what I have around me, what I have the next filmmaker next to me. If I see he's got a big lens, hey, come here, guy. I grab him. And these guys are so, you know, it's really something. They're eager to help, not just for a story, but they really believe why they're there. They've been drawn by this one vision, one connection. And when they get there, they see, wow, these cops are working with Dakota Access Pipeline Security. Well, these past few days, we've started to witness the police militarization. And that's scary because these guys are untrained. Their hands are on the trigger. Their fingers, you know, we're making, I mean, we got vets there, so they're making sure, hey, get your fingers off the trigger, we're unarmed. And you'll hear that in the background, we're unarmed. But we are armed. We're armed with a prayer and a song. And that's what makes us powerful. And they can feel it when we sing. And we sing with strength. And we sing with unity. And we sing with the voices of our ancestors, which makes it very powerful.
Yes, I watched, I don't know if you were the one that was filming this or not. I watched an action where water defenders went in and tied themselves to some of the equipment. Mm-hmm. And the guys were in the machines, the DAPL workers were in the machines, and they were moving the machines. And the water defenders were trying to get their hands inside of the wheels and into the front. They were standing in front of it and the machine was coming, and there's like these two, like those wheel things, mm-hmm. that they have on those machines that look like, you know, tanks.
Yeah.
And it was coming closer and closer. He was like right in between the two things, and he started drumming and singing. And it was literally incredible. Like, it almost makes me cry just remembering it, because it was so terrified watching. It was so close to him, and he started singing and drumming, and it stopped. Yeah. And the guy got out, and he looked really mad, but he got out, and he stopped. And there is an incredible power that comes through in the videos and the work that you're doing. This isn't just media for you. This is far more than that. What do you want folks to know about what you're doing, how they can help Digital Smoke Signals, how they can support your work, and where they can find you on social media?
One of the things is I'm an independent filmmaker. you know, independent media, mm-hmm. it leaves me separate from the tribal politics. And one place you can find me is Digital Smoke Signals. We've got a young crew helping with the social media throughout any country. That's Digital Smoke Signals. It's not me. The hope was to have all the people in any country and non-natives joining together and get the word out when we needed to, and now they're coming together. That's how we're beating media blackout. That's how we were able to get Bernie to recognize tribes. Bernie Sanders, when he was in Paiute country, before he was even recognizing tribes, was pushing the youth media. And you can go to digitalsmokesignals.com and sign up. We have a PayPal account. We have a GoFundMe account that helps fund the equipment that we can't afford. The equipment is reciprocity. So every time I get equipment, I just hand it out. Someone bought a 128 gig hard SIM card, which I was able to give to my relative, you know, that had a Nikon camera and he only had a 2 gig. So he ran out. We can't have anyone running out of media. So I try to supply them with the power strips, inverters, power in the tent, everything we can with the support of Indigenous Environmental Network. And they have their own. So we just teamed up and just started pushing. And with Tom Goldtooth and Dallas Goldtooth and Gandhi and Joyce, and everyone's been awesome, we just hit it. And then we got Sacred Stones and all them relatives coming in, and we all just collaborate, share media, and knock it out. Push it and push it. So for those that want it directly, you know, I got a P.O. box as well, which is Fort Yates 589. And you can just send it to Fort Yates, North Dakota. People will hand deliver gas cards, gloves, you know, food, chocolate. I give it to our staff and coffee, whatever it is. It's pretty amazing. Jackets, 2X, because single X ain't working. You know, and I get to hear their story and why they're empowered. And it's beautiful. It makes me think when I'm way out there, when it's times get tough. You got to get tougher, and tough people outlast those tough times, and we're going to outlast this Dakota Access Pipeline and Black Snake.
Thank you so much for everything you do. It was a pleasure meeting you, brother.
Stay tuned to KPPP LP 88.1 Fargo-Moorhead to hear more news updates and interviews from Standing Rock. Thank you for listening. Mani Wachoni, Water is Life.
Everywhere is a media blackout.